This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Political rhetoric is full of potshots. Howard Dean is attacking frontrunner John Kerry. Kerry and John Edwards are trying to stay above the fray, but all the Democrats, presidential candidates, are going after the Republicans, who, of course, are returning fire. Michael Waldman, a former speechwriter for President Clinton, has written a book about presidential rhetoric, some of it lofty, some less so. The book, titled My Fellow Americans, has audio to go with it, with some crackly recordings of great presidential speeches. Waldman says no matter what period of American history you're talking about, if you want to be president, you have to go negative.
From the very beginning, political speech and political communication has been about pointing the finger at the other guy as well as saying you're great. Think about Abraham Lincoln. We think of his most effective campaign speech in 1858 when he was running for the Senate against Stephen Douglas. Douglas was the leading Democrat in the country, and he was a moderate on slavery. We would say he was kind of mushy. He was against it, but he didn't really want to do anything about it. And Lincoln got up and gave an acceptance speech at the Republican convention in Springfield, Illinois.
A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free.
You know, Bob, that's not Abraham Lincoln. That, of course, an actor.
I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other.
You know, now we would hear that line, the house divided, and we would think, wow, that was quite a soundbite.
Yeah.
And, of course, back then his audience knew he was quoting the Bible, and his advisors the night before said, don't do it, it's too radical. But he got up and basically drew a line that pushed Douglas all the way to the side.
You have examples from Wilson, who I don't think of as a great campaigner. I can't even recall a Wilson speech.
Wilson was considered a very charismatic guy for his time. In the 1912 election, Wilson and Teddy Roosevelt began making campaign recordings, these discs that they would pass out to supporters, and we have one of those discs.
The nation has awakened to a sense of neglected ideals and neglected duties, to a consciousness that the rank and file of her people find life very hard to sustain because of circumstances of privilege and private advantage which have interlaced their subtle threads throughout almost every part of the framework of our present law.
Privilege and private advantage have laced their subtle threads through the framework of our present laws.
Whoa.
That's, if a candidate went out and said that now, you know, everyone on cable TV would say they were declaring class warfare. But presidential candidates have not only targeted each other, they've targeted interests in society, whether it's big business or special interests or big government. It's an important part of telling people who you are. And, of course, over the years, as technology changed, the personality of the presidential candidate became more and more important, and we saw that really come into force with Franklin Roosevelt.
Governments can err. Presidents do make mistakes. But the immortal Dante tells us that divine justice weighs the sins of the cold-blooded and the sins of the warm-hearted in different scales.
One of his most memorably eloquent speeches was a campaign speech, his acceptance for the nomination as president in 1936.
This generation of Americans has a rendezvous with destiny.
Of course, what he was doing there was drawing a sharp line with his opposition, and he was showing you can do it with a smile and flair. And I mean, he said rendezvous. Imagine if a presidential candidate said that today. That's a French word, let alone quoting Dante. But he was drawing a line and saying the other side, the Republicans at the time, they want smaller government, but they don't care if it doesn't do anything. And we want bigger government, but even if we make mistakes, that's okay. Again, when candidates, as they say, go negative, that's not something to bemoan. That's part of the heart of our history. It's also some of the more fun parts of politics.
Yeah, well, it is politics, after all.
There's a lot of politics in politics.
You have some Harry Truman here, too.
Well, of course, Truman went out. He went to these whistle-stop towns and, you know, ripped apart the opposition, and it really worked. We actually have a tape of him on the very first leg of his whistle-stop tour.
I'm asking you to use your own judgment whether you want to go forward with the Democratic Party or whether you want to turn the clock back to the horse and buggy days with such people as made up that do-nothing 80th Republican Congress. You stayed at home in 1946 and you got the 80th Congress and you got just exactly what you deserved.
He's telling him off there. He says, you stayed home in 46 and you got exactly what you deserved, the 80th Congress.
You know, it was very clever because he had his opponent was Thomas Dewey, who was much more moderate. So he said, I'm not going to run against the guy they ran against me. I'm going to run against the Congress. You know, Truman was Truman and he never changed. Richard Nixon, who we think of now through the prism of so many other things, was a devastatingly effective speaker.
Let us listen to America.
And he actually gave a very memorable speech at the 1968 convention.
As we look at America, we see cities enveloped in smoke and flame. We hear sirens in the night. We see Americans dying on distant battlefields abroad. We see Americans hating each other, fighting each other, killing each other at home. And as we see and hear these things, millions of Americans cry out in anguish, did we come all this way for this? Did American boys die in Normandy and Korea and in Valley Forge for this?
Nowadays, they would use some language in front of focus groups to see if that if it's going to work in a speech, right?
You know, people do market test words and phrases and show tapes to focus groups, the kind of thing that Truman used to be able to do because he stood on the back of a train. Candidates really don't get as much contact with voters. Even so, it's very often comes down to the person at the podium. We actually don't think of George Herbert Walker Bush in that way, but his speech to the 1988 convention changed that election.
My opponent won't rule out raising taxes, but I will, and the Congress will push me to raise taxes, and I'll say no, and they'll push, and I'll say no, and they'll push again, and I'll say to them, read my lips.
Well, what happened to his lips?
They moved. but when he did actually raise taxes to cut the deficit, it was very effective for Democrats to say, see, he broke his word, he broke his promise. And I like to think that that speech may have won him the 1988 presidential election and lost him the 1992 presidential election.
Wasn't that also the speech of 1,000 points of light?
Well, that's right. There was some tremendous eloquence in that speech. Other moments that people remember, he talked about saying we need a kinder, gentler America. That line, of course, has been quoted so many times. But what people forget is he was being a very canny politician. He was saying, I'm not going to be as doctrinaire conservative as Ronald Reagan. And he said that, and the delegates were all cheering. And Nancy Reagan reportedly turned to the person sitting next to her and said, kinder and gentler than who? You know, as I listen to all these speeches, there's some great lines, there's often great eloquence, sometimes there's humor. But we shouldn't get mad at people running for office nowadays when they get emotional and when they talk about the other side. That's part of what makes democracy exciting and democratic.
Michael Waldman is a lawyer and former director of speechwriting for President Clinton. He is author of the book, My Fellow Americans, The Most Important Speeches of America's Presidents, from George Washington to George W. Bush.